Hello, I'm Rabbi Iggy, and welcome to Tattoos and Torah. Hello, thank you for joining us for another episode of Tattoos and Torah. I'm Rabbi Iggy. It's Pride Shabbat today. Indeed, it's Pride Month in New York City. And it is still true, perhaps even more so today, as I said before, that by identifying as gay, by saying gay, being Jewish, being queer, is an act of resistance. It is, in fact, a political statement. It is still challenging some days being queer and being Jewish, especially when Jewish institutions and individuals' personal locations are being put on lists and maps to watch and protest, putting them in danger, reminiscent of Berlin before the war. When violence against trans people is on the rise, when LGBTQI people are killed without justice, when laws are put in place to limit our rights, being proud, being loud, just being, just waking up today, just having a day is enough, and it is, in fact, an act of resistance. Our mere existence is a political act and a statement of survival. Throughout history, of course, we've been mocked and beaten, ignored, thrown out and excluded from so many places. But again, we are here to stay, and we have always have been here, and we will continue to be here. We are creating and contributing. We will keep challenging people and pushing the envelope and challenge what they think about what it means to be a person, to have the human condition, what it means to be man or woman or trans or anything else, pansexual, non-binary, whatever it is that we choose to identify as. We are here to move society forward and expand how people think. We've put it on our banner to tell people that the world is almost never an either or. It is a both and. And I'll get back to it in a bit. Hemingway writes, "The world breaks everyone. And afterward, many are strong at the broken places. But those that will not break, it kills. It kills the very good and the very gentle and the very brave impartially. If you are none of these, you can be sure it will kill you, but there will be no special hurry." You see, brokenness, we have to acknowledge that we are not perfect, that we go through trauma, experiences. Breaking is not bad. Being broken is not bad. We are not perfect, and we should not wish to be perfect. In that, we acknowledge, of course, the gift of tshuva, of a response, a return, and a repentance. Repentance in the sense of looking at what has happened to us and understand how we can learn from it. Tshuva that we've been given means that we must be able to use it. And in order to use it, we must recognize our failings, our challenges, our trauma, again, our brokenness. And I wish to learn from them. By admitting our failings and our responsibility to amend them, we are creating space for ourselves and for others and our community. A healthy community requires not just an expansion of our understanding of inclusivity and what we find acceptable to talk about, of course, but also contraction of ourselves to create more space for others around us. The spiritual principle is called tzimtzum, a reduction of the self, places us in the center of a tense and complex spectrum of importance. We've talked about this before. Rabbi Bunim of Pshischa taught that a person must have two notes in his pocket. In one pocket should be a note that reads, "The world was created for me." In the other pocket, there should be a note that reads, "I am nothing but dust and ashes." The tension between these two is the constant pull between our self-importance and self-protecting side, which means to walk, shifting the tension from one side to another to move forward. Walking is nothing if not controlled falling, of course. Look at how a baby learns to walk. This tension and forward momentum reminds us that we are not one thing. We are not static. We are in constant tension, prepared to veer one way or the other as cracks appear on our path, but always moving forward. When we are honest with ourselves, we realize that we are all broken. But it is through this brokenness that we can see each other's struggles. Only then can we really connect to people, recover. We can think about how being honest, self-effacing, have a critical side. The traditional articulation of the Jewish way of life is halacha in Hebrew, deriving from the root halach, which means to walk. You see, shifting the tension from one side to another as we move forward, and like I said, as we are walking and falling and, you know, holding ourselves. So as we look through this walking, this path, we always have to move away from an either-or perspective towards a both-and perspective, because we're looking at both sides of ourselves. Me, 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 not me. Me, 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 not me. And again, always moving forward. If we want a life of meaning as we grow and experience life, we learn, while the trajectory of our lives may not be linear and may take us off the path sometimes of wellness, we make choices that are not great. We strive to be slightly better today than we were yesterday. The world is not binary. Very few things are. While many would have us cling to a binary system that forces us to choose between good or bad, us, them, pure, impure, holy, secular, believer, infidel, male, female, gay, straight, our tradition teaches us that our self, our motivational self, part of the way that we express ourselves, our yetzer, this creative, rejuvenating force, part of our soul, consists of two elements as well that create a spectrum, if you will. Good, and what is often translated as evil, ra. But again, it would be better to translate it as other rather than bad, rea. A reading of that, that has a very a long word, a very old academic word, which is agathokakological. This reading teaches us that good and the other exists within us, both of them, creating this tension. That tension demands us to hold both ends of the spectrum constantly, catering to our will to do and be good, and our inherent need also to misbehave and to create mischief. Negating either one of them leads to a life that is lacking, oppressive, and unrealistically, in fact. Such a life can leave us hollow and in constant state of misery. So if we think about shifting our perspective from a binary perspective, an either-or perspective, to a both-and perspective, one that takes into consideration all our intentions, our feelings, our actions, our thoughts, our values, both tov and rea, we should aim for a nuanced, complex existence, one that allows people to be who they are and not who they want to be or who they expect themselves to be, or worse even, who the world expects them to be. This week, I was interviewed for the New York Post print edition, and we're talking about families and LGBTQI families and partnership and fertility and things to think about building a family. And I spoke about this a little bit last year as well, that it makes me think about these blessings that we meet when we think about creating partnerships, Jewish weddings. So the blessings are, one, you are blessed, Lord our God, the sovereign of the world, the creator of human being, right? Adam in Hebrew. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, yotzer ha'adam, creator of Adam, of human being. And the other one is, you are blessed, Lord our God, the sovereign of the world who created human beings in your image, in the pattern of your likeness, and provided for a perpetuation of humankind. You are blessed, Lord, the creator of human beings. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher yatzar et haadam betzalmo betzalem dmut tavnito veitkin lanu binyan adead. Baruch ata Adonai yotzer haadam. These two blessings, these two brachot, part of also the Sheva brachot, the seven blessings that we say at a wedding and in the 7 days following the wedding, are traditionally recited at the wedding, seemingly say very similar things. Yet I think they reflect an ancient tension about the creation of humankind, all humankind. The distinction between man and woman, perhaps, the distinction between two different people, not just women and women, the relationship between masculine and feminine, the relationship between good and bad, myself and the other, straight and queerness. The wedding ceremony assumes that the two partners will face each other in life, two halves uniting as one. And if we read the text closely, we can see that the partners, myself and other, perhaps were not really meant to face each other as separate. In our tradition in Bereshit, the opening parsha in Genesis focuses on creating boundaries and drawing lines, differentiating between the objects of creation, naming and categorizing them. Adam's job is to work in the Garden of Eden, maintaining it, watching over it. Adam is also asked to name the animals for perpetuity, and indeed does that, until confronted with the need to name an equal, a mirror to himself. It is here that our story really begins as humanity. Naming something is a powerful experience. Traditionally, it gives us or gives the person naming the power over it and confirms a certain dominance in the relationship. Recognizing a name and using it lets you understand it and know some of its secrets, like a magic word that establishes familiarity between you and the person, animal, object, thing. It proves that you know what they are about and also know them apart from yourself. It's not surprising then that in our ancient language, to know somebody also means to know them intimately, signifying perhaps a deep but bounden connection between two beings. Many has been written about this, right? What's in a name? So the question for everybody who's listening today, as we think about like the things we call ourselves, the things we're allowed to call ourselves, things we're not allowed to call ourselves, what is your name? How do you want to be known? How do you want to be called? Often people have different names, nicknames, things they're known for one and another, things they want to be known. They change their names if they want to transition from one state of life to the other. They can pick their own name. When you convert sometimes, right, you choose a Hebrew name. I remember taking a class in Spanish many years ago, and the teacher asked all of us to choose a Spanish name. Maybe in recovery, you should choose a spiritual name, a recovery name. Who do you want to be? What do you want to be? What does the name mean? What does the name represent for you? Think about your name, think about how you present yourself and what it is and what you say about yourself and those that know your name. In the Talmud, while discussing these wedding ceremony blessings that I talked about, the sages noticed that every time the text talks about the creation of a person, of Adam, the Yetzar, the text uses two yuds, two letters in Hebrew, even though the word can be used with only one. Whereas when describing the creation of everything else, the text always just uses one yud. So considering this, Rabbi Irmiya ben Elazar there explains that man was created with two faces, du partzufin, two facets. This idea later picked up by the medieval commentator Rashi, also Plato talks about this. When describing the creation of human being, it's not new, but it raises a real question that are even more relevant today, I think, in that in the times of the Talmud, with what does it mean for us if when we were created by God of our own understanding, that it intended for us to have two faces in one body, two sides, one that will never look at each other, but always lead in a different direction. What does it mean if we're never to encounter the other, since the other is always part of us? And how to lean to understand the other through the part of us? What is the bigger challenge, facing another person who represents all that we are not, or facing that within ourselves? Perhaps facing ourselves is facing our brokenness as well. Can two walk together if they face two different directions? Can two really walk side by side? To be a whole person, both, again, masculine, feminine, non-binary, trans, man, woman, whatever it is, to be a whole person of all the different parts of you, gender identity, sexual identity, interests, understandings, values, tattoos and Torah. One needs to be an Adam, a person, a creation, acknowledging our deep humanity. Elation, beauty, but also brokenness. The potentiality of being elevated, of man, of course, is written beautifully, perhaps the best, in my opinion, by William Shakespeare. What a piece of work is man! How noble in reason, how infinite in faculty, in form and moving, how express and admirable, in action, how like an angel. In apprehension, how like a god, the beauty of the world, the paragon of animals. In order to fulfill that potential, in order to lean into the essence of our humanity, if we are to become the person we always want to be, if we are to become as whole as we can with the brokenness, with our scars, in order to fulfill the potential of being human, we have to allow ourselves to realize the nature in which we have been created, which is again all these aspects, both masculine and feminine, both genders, sometimes both sexes, both good and bad, both have high potential and also less. Admiring, being inspired, talking about theology and philosophy, but also loving the Real Housewives. We have to look inwards and recognize and call it by name for all our parts, biological, spiritual. In that sense, we are all queer. Nobody is one thing. Perhaps if we identify that today on Pride Month, we can see ourselves part of the LGBTQI+ community. No matter how we define ourselves, to be allies, to be supporters, to see our brothers and sisters, and to accept parts of ourselves and, of course, parts of others that we have to allow to recognize that it's all part of the human condition, of being human, of wanting to be seen, of wanting to be heard, of wanting our life of meaning, our recovery, to stand up, to be proud of all we are achieving, both the great things and also being out and open about the things we struggle with, our own brokenness. It is not a weakness to be vulnerable. It is the world's biggest strength. Thank you for listening. I'm Rabbi Iggy. Thank you for all those who work on our podcast, Ben Lichman, Grace Sheed, who help us sound good and deliver this message to you. For all other things, you know how to find us, tshuvacenter.org, on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, wherever you want, tshuvahcenter.org, or like I said, on social media. Thank you so much. Happy Pride.